Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem, Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and Dirma Zechus Yavamas, Daf Lamed Vav, the fourth parak, Achotz Gavimto. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Elazar attempts to bring a Mishnah that supports Reish Lakish, who says that Chalitza is Moberes, Oloshma Chalitza. A Chalitza of a pregnant woman is not a valid Chalitza, even if she miscarries. For the Mishnah taught, if a woman's husband and her tzara went to Medinas Yam, and they came back and reported that her husband was dead, she cannot marry or be taken in Yibum until she determines whether her tzara is pregnant. Melezer said that it makes sense that she cannot do Yibum, for perhaps the child will be viable and the Yavam would be transgressing the derisive of Eishes Hak. But why can she not do Chalitza within the 9 months if Chalitza of a pregnant woman is valid and then remarry after the 9 months have passed? This implies that a Chalitza of a pregnant woman is not valid. The Gemara rejects this proof and explains that the reason this woman may not do chalitza and remarry until she determines whether her tzara had a child is that perhaps her tzara had a viable child, and it will come out that you will require an announcement that she's fit to marry into the kahuna. It would be declared that her earlier chalitza was not effective and she's not a chalitza to be forbidden to kahanim. The Gemara clarifies that we are concerned that if someone was not at the announcement, they might come to think we're permitting a chalitza to a kohen. Pointing to Rav said that the halacha goes according to Reish Lakish in three issues, one of them being that chalitza is mu'uberes lo shma chalitza. The third matter relates to a case where a father signed over his properties to his son to be acquired after the father's death, where the father retains rights to the peros, the produce, until his death. Machra ben b'chayav u'mesa ben b'chayav. If the son sold the property during his father's lifetime, and the son died during the father's lifetime, Rabbi Yochanan says, the buyer did not acquire the property upon the father's death, but Reish Lakish says, the buyer has acquired the property upon the father's death. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yochanan holds kinyan peres ke kinyan aguftam, that ownership to the rights of the produce, which the father still had, is in effect ownership of the principal of the land. Therefore, the son's sale did not have legal standing. Reish Lakish holds that the buyer does acquire the land since kinyan peres lav ke kinyan aguf. The ownership of the rights to the produce is not considered as if he still owns the land. And point number three, the Mishnah taught that if one marries his Yavama and she's found to be pregnant, if the child is not viable, he keeps her as his wife. The Gemara here brings a brice with an opposing opinion that taught, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, they said, Yotzi beget, he must divorce her with a get. Rashi explains that even though the Yibum is valid, since the child was not viable, the Rabbanim penalized him and required divorce because by marrying the Yavama, who was possibly pregnant, he risked violating the Deraisa Isser of Eishes Hak. The get alone is sufficient here without a chalitza, since it was revealed in the end that the Yibum was valid. The Gemara compares Rabbi Yazir's din with Rabbi Meir, who holds that if one married the pregnant or nursing ex-wife of someone, Yotzi v'yachzir olamis, he must divorce her and never take her back. The Gemara questions this comparison. So once again, the 3 points are number one, Rabbi Elazar attempts to bring a Mishnah that supports Reish Lakish, who says, Chalitza's mu'uberes roshma chalitza. A chalitza of a pregnant woman is not a valid chalitza, even if she miscarries. For the Mishnah taught, if a woman's husband and her tzar went to Medinas Yam, and they came back and reported that her husband was dead, she cannot marry or be taken in Yibum until she determines whether her tzar is pregnant. Melezer said that it makes sense that she cannot do Yibum, for perhaps the child will be viable and the Yavam would be transgressing the derisive of Eishes Hak. But why can she not do Chalitza within the 9 months if Chalitza of a pregnant woman is valid and then remarry after the 9 months have passed? This implies that a Chalitza of a pregnant woman is not valid. The Gemara rejects this proof and explains that the reason this woman may not do Chalitza and remarry until she determines whether her tzara had a child is that perhaps her tzara had a viable child, and it will come out that you will require an announcement that she's fit to marry into the kahuna. It would be declared that her earlier Chalitza was not effective and she's not a Chalitza to be forbidden to kahanim. The Gemara clarifies that we are concerned that if someone was not at the announcement, they might come to think we're permitting a Chalitza to a kohen. Pointing to Rav said that the halacha goes according to Reish Lakish in three issues, one of them being that chalitza is mu'uberes lo shma chalitza. The third matter relates to a case where a father signed over his properties to his son to be acquired after the father's death, where the father retains rights to the peros, the produce, until his death. Machra ben b'chayav u'mesa ben b'chayav. If the son sold the property during his father's lifetime, and the son died during the father's lifetime, Rabbi Yochanan says, the buyer did not acquire the property upon the father's death, but Reish Lakish says, the buyer has acquired the property upon the father's death. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yochanan holds kinyan peres ke kinyan aguftam, that ownership to the rights of the produce, which the father still had, doesn't affect ownership of the principal of the land. Therefore, the son's sale did not have legal standing. Rish Lakish holds that the buyer does acquire the land since Kenyan bears love Kenyan Aguf. The ownership of the rights to the produce is not considered as if he still owns the land. And point number three, the Mishnah taught that if one marries his Yovam and she's found to be pregnant, if the child is not viable, he keeps her as his wife. The Gemara here brings a brice with an opposing opinion that taught, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, they said, Yotzi beget, he must divorce her with a get. Rashi explains that even though the Yibam is valid, since the child was not viable, the Rabbanim penalized him and required divorce because by marrying the Yavama, who was possibly pregnant, he risked violating the Deraisa Isser of Eshazach. The get alone is sufficient here without a chalitza, since it was revealed in the end that the Yibam was valid. The Gemara compares Rabbi Yazir's din with Rabbi Meir, who holds that if one married the pregnant or nursing ex-wife of someone, Yotzi v'liyachzi olamis, he must divorce her and never take her back. The Gemara questions this comparison. All right, so now we go to a simmer daf lamed vav, and our standard simmon is a lulav for lamed vav. So here goes. The lulav salesman missed the announcement that a certain woman who did a chalitza was in fact permitted to the kahuna because he was jumping for joy that the sale of the lulav farm he bought from the farmer's son was still good when the son suddenly passed away. After being told he had to give his yavam a divorce because he did yibum prematurely, risking violating the iser of Eshazach. Once again, in slow motion. The lulav salesman, lulav, that must be more in daf, lamed vav. The lulav salesman missed the announcement that a certain woman who did chalitza was in fact permitted to the kahuna, which reminds us of the reason why a woman couldn't have a chalitza done in a case where a husband and her tsar went overseas and they came back and reported that her husband was dead and it's not yet known if her tsar had a child is not because chalitza is mu'uberes loshma chalitza, a chalitza of a pregnant woman is not a valid chalitza even if she miscarries. Rather, it's because perhaps the tsar had a viable child, v'nimsa tamatzricha karuz l'kahuna, and it will come out that you'll require an announcement that she's fit to marry into the kahuna. It would be declared that her earlier chalitza was not effective and she's not a chalutza to be forbidden to kohanim. The Gemara clarifies that we're concerned that if someone was not at the announcement, they might come to think we're permitting a chalutza to a kohen. So the lulav salesman missed the announcement that a certain woman who did chalitza was in fact permitted at the kahuna because he was jumping for joy that the sale of the lulav farm he bought from the farmer's son was still good when the son suddenly passed away. Which reminds us, Rava says the halacha goes according to Reish Lakish in the case where a father signed over his properties to his son to be acquired after the father's death and where the father retains rights to the produce. If the son sold the property during his father's lifetime and the son died during the father's lifetime, Reish Lakish says, the buyer has acquired the property upon the father's death, since kinyan peres lavka kinyan aguf, the ownership of the rights of the produce, which the father still had, is not considered as if he still owns the land. So, the lulav salesman missed the announcement that a certain woman who did chalitza was in fact permitted at the kahuna, because he was jumping for joy that the sale of the lulav farm he bought from the farmer's son was still good when the son suddenly passed away. After being told he had to give his Yavam a divorce because he did Yibum prematurely, risking violating the Isser of Eshazach. Which reminds us, if one marries his Yavama and she's found to be pregnant, if the child is not viable, he keeps her as his wife. The Gemara here brings a brice with an opposing opinion that taught, in the name of Beleza, they said, Yotzi beget, he must divorce with a get. Rashi explains that even though the Yibum is valid since the child was not viable, the Rabbanim penalized him and required divorce because by marrying the Yavama who was possibly pregnant, he risked violating the Deraisa Isser of Eshazach. So once again, the lulav salesman missed the announcement that a certain woman who did a chalitza was in fact permitted to the kahuna because he was jumping for joy that the sale of the lulav farm he bought from the farmer's son was still good when the son suddenly passed away after being told he had to give his yavama a divorce because he did yimur prematurely, risking violating the iser of Eshazach. All right, now it's time to go to our four blah back chazara. Daf Lamed Beis. So the simmer Daf Lamed Beis is a mad scientist in a lab. So here goes. The mad scientist, that must be Ron Duff, Lamed Beis, mad scientist in a lab. The mad scientist's strange Isser Chal Isser radar device pointed at a man's brother's wife, who was his wife's sister, which reminds us it was taught to Bryce of Ba'alewa. If the Yavam had relations with the Yavama while his own wife, who was her sister, was still alive, Rabbi Yossi holds that he's chai for violating the Isser of a brother's wife and a wife's sister. Rabbi Shimon says, Eino chayv ela mishum eshazach bo'avad. He's only chayv for violating the iser of her brother's wife. Rashi explains that Rabbi Shimon holds, Ein iser chal al iser. One iser does not take effect upon another iser. So the mad scientist's strange iser chal al iser radar device pointed at a man's brother's wife, who was his wife's sister, detected an iser mosiv signal, which reminds us, the Gemara asks whether Rabbi Yossi really holds of iser chal al iser, for it was taught in a braisa. If one did an aver, there results in two different methods of execution. the Tanakhama holds, Nidam B'chamura, he's subject to the more severe one. Rabbi Yossi says, Nidam B'zika Rishona Ba'i Lav, he's subject to the execution that comes from him from the first attachment. This seems to prove that Rabbi Yossi does not hold of Isser Kal Al Isser. Rabbi Yavo said Rabbi Yossi does hold that Ein Isser Kal Al Isser, except in the case of an Isser Mosif, when the second Isser is more extensive than the first. For example, when a man marries, his wife's sister becomes prohibited to him, but not his brother's. When one of his brothers marries a sister, then the sister now becomes prohibited to all the brothers. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi holds he's chayav for both if he has relations with her. The Gemara will refute this explanation. So the mad scientist's strange Isser Chal Al Isser radar device pointed at a man's brother's wife, who was his wife's sister, detected an Isser Mosif signal coming from a czar doing a vote in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings three disputes between Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kappara. It was stated, Zar Sheshimash B'Shabbos, if a non-Kohen served in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, Rabbi Chiya says he's chayiv twice, once for serving the Beis HaMikdash, and one for being Mechal Shabbos, whereas Bar Kappara says he is only chayiv once, as a non-Kohen serving. Each one took an oath and claimed they heard their opinions from Rebbe. Two more similar disputes are brought, and on the next daf, the Gemara will discuss whether Melchokosim are based on.
Daf Lamed Gimel. So the Simon Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg leg pirate. So here goes.
The peg leg pirate. Peg leg pirate? That must be more on Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg leg pirate who is caught doing two prohibitions at once as he served in the temple on Shabbos, which reminds us. The Gemara goes to an extensive analysis of what the Malchokes between Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kappara is based on and concludes they're disagreeing B'Isser Babas Achas Valiba the Rabbi Shimon in regard to simultaneous prohibitions, which are prohibitions that come into being for a person at the same time, and according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rashi explains that according to Rabbi Chiya, even Rabbi Shimon, who rejects the principle of Isser Kolel and Isser Mosif, would agree that the prohibitions that occur at the same time take effect, since neither in his position to block the other from taking effect. According to Bar Kappara, Rabbi Shimon also rejects the principle of Be'isr B'bas Achas, simultaneous prohibitions taking effect. So, the peg-leg pirate who was caught doing two prohibitions at once, as he served in the temple on Shabbos, and was told he was going to be buried among the complete Rishayim, even though he just did an Isser Ba'alma, which reminds us, Gemara asks in reference to the case of Azar Sheshimish B'Shabbos, what avoded did the Azar do on Shabbos? Rav Acha Bar Yaakov said, B'shchit is parash kohen gadol, shechting the kohen gadol's bull on Yom Kippur, according to the one who holds that a czar may not do it. When the Gemara notes that even an ordinary kohen is not permitted to do so, it answers that a czar in this context refers to someone who is not a kohen in regard to this avoda. Rav Ashi objected to this answer, since a chatas was not mentioned in Rabbi Yossi's ruling, and neither were any negative mitzvahs. Rather, Isser Ba'alma Kachashim, it refers to general prohibitions, even if they do not result in a chatas or malchus. The nafka mina is regard to lekavru bein rishayim gemurim, to burying him among complete rishayim. According to Rabbi Yossi, he's buried among complete rishayim in a cemetery for those who are stoned or burned. So, the peg-leg pirate who's caught doing two prohibitions at once, as he served in the temple on Shabbos, and was told he was going to be buried among the complete rishayim, even though he just did, and Isser Ba'alma, ran and was mekadesh a woman whom he accidentally exchanged with another at the time of Rechuppah. Which reminds us, so the Gemara clarifies that when the next Mishnah brings a case of two men who were Mekadosh two women, and says that at the time of the Chuppah, Hechlifu Zeh Zeh, they exchanged wives, which implies B'mezid, that the Mishnah should be amended to read Huchlifu, they were exchanged, B'shogeg. Daf Lamed Daled, so the Simur Daf Lamed Daled is a ladder. So here goes. The Tummy man who was hiding up high on a ladder, that must mean we're in Daf Lamed Daled. The tummy man who was hiding up high on a ladder, eating chelov that was noosed that he carried in his mouth on Shabbos, which reminds us. The Gemara here asks, who is the tanu who holds that two prohibitions take effect upon a single item, whether it's through an Isser Kola, an Isser Mosif, and an Isser Basachas? And Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that it's Rabbi Meir, for it was taught in the Mishnah, Yesh Ocha Achila Achas V'chai V'leo Arba Chatos V'Asham Echad. There's one who does one act of eating and is chai for four chatos offerings and one asham. The case is a tummy person who ate chelov that was noosed from consecrated offerings on Yom Kippur. Remer says that if it was Shabbos and he carried it out in his mouth before swallowing, he would be chayv a fifth offering. So we see from here the Remer holds of all three types of prohibitions, including an Isser Basachas. So the tummy man who was hiding up high on a ladder eating chelov that was noser, that he carried in his mouth on Shabbos, watched a bris down below where a father was rushing, had the wrong baby circumcised, which reminds us. The Gemara asks, who does Rabbi Meir rule in accordance with, given that he holds that the two men who accidentally switched wives should bring chatas offerings, and answers that he holds like Rabbi Yezza that holds a Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah chayv. Alternatively, it could be that he rules even in accordance with Rabbi Yeshua, who stated his position that a Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah pater in the case of circumcising babies on Shabbos, this manu bohu, where a person's time is rushed, since there's a mitzvah to circumcise the baby on the eighth day, If he erred in that situation and circumcised the wrong baby that was not meant to be circumcised on Shabbos, he's pater. But here in the case of marrying the woman, his time is not rushed, since there's no specific day that he must marry the woman. So the tummy man who was hiding up high on a ladder eating chalev, that was noser, that he carried in his mouth on Shabbos, watched a bris down below where a father who was rushing had the wrong baby circumcised, to the horror of its mother who had gotten remarried 10 years after her first husband's death. Which reminds us, when Rabin came, he said in the name of Yochanan, any woman who waited after the death of her husband 10 years and then remarries can no longer bear children. Rav Nachman said, they did not teach this rule except when she did not plan on remarrying, but if she did plan on doing so, she can still become pregnant. The more brings the case of Rav Chisda's daughter who bore children to Rav 10 years after the death of her first husband, Rami Bar Chama. Daf Lamed Hey, so the Simmer Daf Lamed Hey is the children's choir singing la la la. So here goes. The children's choir, that must mean we're on Daf Lamed Hey. La la la. The children's choir joyfully singing at the Gioris' Chasna the day after her conversion, which reminds us all women who had relations and then want to remarry need to wait 3 months, except for a woman who converted as an adult and a shipch who was freed as an adult. When the word suggests the Rabban should be gozer for these women to wait as well, since it's common for them to have illicit relations, it answers that Shmuel's going according to Rabbi Yossi, who holds that a Gioris, a Shvuya, a captive woman, and a shipch do not need to wait 3 months. Abai explains the reason they do not have to wait is that a woman who engages in znus inverts herself after having relations so that she does not become pregnant. So the children's choir joyfully singing at the Gioris' Chasna the day after her conversion were thankfully not present in the hall next door where two daughters of Kohanim got switched to their chuppas and became Pasulti Truma, which reminds us the Mishnah had said of Imhayu Kohanos Nipsul Mina Truma. If the calls were daughters of Kohanim, they are Pasul from the eating of Truma. Rav said that the Mishnah is teaching that if they were daughters of Kohanim who were married to Yisraelim, they are Pasul from eating Truma from their Kohanic homes. Rashi explains that even though a Bas Kohen who was violated while married to Yisrael is not prohibited to her husband, if he were to die, she would not be able to return home and eat Truma. So the children's choir joyfully singing at the Gioris' Chasna the day after her conversion were thankfully not present in the hall next door where two daughters of Kohanim got switched at their chuppas and became Pasul to eat Truma, while a guest who was pregnant and had done Chalitza was rushed out and tragically miscarried. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a Malchokas Amorim in the beginning of the fourth paragraph regarding Alcholetz Gemuba Eres Vahipila, one who does Chalitza with a pregnant woman and then she miscarries. Rabbi Yochanan says she does not need Chalitza from the brother since the Chalitza is now seen to be valid, whereas Reish Lakish says she does require Chalitza again from one of the brothers since the first Chalitza was not valid. The Gemara teaches that Malchokas is going to be explained based on Psukim and on Svara. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.